Let's go to another call, and let's talk with Kathy from Southington. Kathy, take a stand. You're on the air with Father John.
Hello, Father.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you.
I'd like to compliment you on, first of all, on your program, which is wonderful, but also on the balanced and unbiased approach that you have been using to present the facts relative to this matter. You know, certainly this is a very important issue, and it's important, you know, for the public to have the facts, and I think you've been presenting them in a very balanced and exemplary manner, so I thank you for that. And just wanted to express my view that the mandate certainly is an intrusion on our democracy. I can't imagine that the constitutionality of this law will be upheld, and hope that the justices will not be bullied into upholding it, because if this is upheld, then, as you and others have stated, what is next? Where do you draw the line? So
it's kind of a fearful time in our society, isn't it, Kathy?
It certainly is. It certainly is, because if this is upheld, then what will be next? Where do you draw the line? And so it's frightening, frankly. And I applaud you for presenting this issue as you have done, and I applaud the bishops for taking a stand and hope that they will not back off of this. And certainly that should get the attention of politicians and the votes and all of that, which they hold dear. And, you know, this is the kind of issue that certainly should be brought into the spotlight and the public informed, as you've done, so that people can then voice their views to their politicians and certainly have a view on it.
Well, I don't know. This is one of the questions that I'd like to ask Bishop Cody in terms of what kind of response has the public been giving to our elected politicians? What response have we gotten from them? And also in terms of the leadership that the bishops themselves have been given by Archbishop Timothy Dolan of New York is wonderful. And I think that, Bishop Cody, as bishops, you have great leadership in your ranks and therefore are giving great leadership to the general public in this whole argument, in this whole debate over religious liberty.
Yes, thank you. I really think that it is a question of an offense to democracy. A few years ago in Connecticut, as you remember, the state legislature with the Bill 1098 tried to restructure the governance of the Catholic Church. Yes. And of course, just the sentiment of Catholics, once they realized what was going on, was basically don't mess with my church.
Don't tread on me.
Don't mess with my church. And I think once Americans in general come to understand what is being attempted here, a similar sentiment arises. And in the church right now, again, it is, don't mess with my church. Keep your hands off that dear reality of my faith. But Americans, I think, will start saying to themselves, keep your hands off the Constitution. We have to protect the founding document of our nation that assures us liberty.
Kathy, any last comment?
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And I just, as I say, I applaud your efforts and keep at it.
Well, thank you so very, very much for your call.
Have a good evening.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to be part of our discussion, 203-758-0707, that's 203-758-0707, or toll-free from anywhere, 1-866-607-6847, that's 1-866-607-6847.
I could have been born somewhere else. I could have been born far away from America the Beautiful. Far from the American dream, far from liberty and justice for all. I could have been born where freedom doesn't exist, where peace is only a dream that will never wake. And when I think of the places I could have been born, I wonder if I truly appreciate what I have grown up with. I wonder if I appreciate the common commodities that have come second nature to me. Common commodities like freedom of speech, or the freedom of religion. I wonder what I would have been like, what life would have been like, if I did not know these freedoms. I wonder what life would have been like had I been born un-American.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood. Shining sea, oh beautiful for pilgrim feet who stem impassioned stress. A thoroughfare for freedom beam across the
Rich is calling from Springfield. Rich, take a stand. You're on the air. No, I guess Rich is not. Sorry about that. Let's see if we can't go to perhaps Colleen. Are you there, Colleen?
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you, Father and Bishop? I very much support the good fight at this time because I don't want to look back in 5 years and say, oh, I didn't write my Congress people. I wrote one of them. I did do an email to one of them and didn't get an answer, but I'm going to continue to complete my list because I've been a nurse for 40, going on 44 years now, practicing nurse. I was certified nationally as a hospice nurse for 5 years, some 10 years ago. And I wondered if Bishop and Father remember hearing the frenzy that occurred early in Obama's administration when Rahm Emanuel leaked to the internet one day, and I forget the gentleman's name that made a complaint made a big point out of it that Rahm had a list of conditions for which they were planning a kind of lottery for the end of life, for denying further care to people.
Oh, yes.
They had a list, and it was posted right on the internet. And I happened to have caught it that night, and it came out. It just blew up in Obama's face the next day. Rahm Emanuel was forced to deny it, and Rachel Maddow on Fox TV the next day made fun of the whole issue. She said, oh, you're just blowing it totally out of proportion. But my point is that this type of thing might also be included if we don't keep our vigil on this one issue with Obamacare. If it passes, this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What women fear as loss of services is it's a smokescreen, and I couldn't agree with you more. You can go down to any gynecologist, any physician, and any drugstore and get what you need, and I don't need to be paying for it, and neither do you, neither does the Catholic Church.
Well, that's the point. It's not that the Catholic Church wants to outlaw this. It's that the Catholic Church feels that we shouldn't be paying for something that is against our conscience and against what we truly believe. So, therefore, it is an infringement on our religious liberty.
And as I've thought about this over the last few months, I really, also having been a women's health nurse, healthcare nurse, some 30 years ago, I think that they should just take it totally off. I mean, birth control is not healthcare. I think it should be totally separated. I'm even seeing it as something completely separate from going to, you know, for a regular checkup.
Well, you're a nurse. You tell me that pregnancy is a disease.
Right. I mean, I've come, believe me, I've come 180 degrees. I mean, I was caught up in the frenzy in the 70s with, you know, the feminist movement and all. And I've come around 180 degrees completely. And, you know, I don't know. I think I should just let someone else talk because I'm very worked up over, and I'm really fearful for what we're showing our young women and young men too, and that life has no meaning.
Well, I thank you, Colleen, for your call. And let's go to another call. Dan from Massachusetts, how are you?
Well, good evening, Father John. I love your station. I think you're holding it together with such great reinforcement in terms of music and especially the special interest program tonight. I was looking forward to participating. Actually, to be honest with you, I'm going to start off by saying I'm a strong proponent of chiropractic faith. You know, we wrote a book called A New Little Soul, and I'm very pro-life, but that's not really why I'm calling. I'm calling because there are other interest groups besides our faith that oppose this type of thinking. For example, you know, I'm a chiropractor, and, you know, areas, for example, of interest are, you know, inoculation shots. And today, I feel very good about the fact that my daughter was able to go to college and have exemptions. She has an exemption that she didn't have to have inoculations to go to college. She went to college, you know, without having been mandated against her right to have certain inoculations, which, you know, in our belief system, could ruin her health.
And you should be able to do certain things and eat certain foods and make certain choices in your life free of government intrusion.
Exactly. And we're protected by the Second Constitutional Amendment. I fear that if this mandate, you know, proliferates into the direction that it's going, that these exemptions will be missed and we're going to be back to, you know, a socialization enforced on us as Americans and not being able to exercise our rights and our belief systems.
Dan, thank you for your call. You've eloquently made your point. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Father John. Keep on. I love your station. I think you're using the station to bring about a beautiful communication of, you know, of love and music and
we're trying hard, and I thank you for being part of it. You take care.
Thank you, Father.
Bye now. And Bishop Cody is our guest, and we've got some time left. Do you mind if I keep you a little bit beyond 8 o'clock? No. Oh, he wants to leave. What can I do? What can I tell you?
A promise is a promise,
Father. Yes, I know. I promised you. But we do have a few other things to listen to. Now, I did ask you whether you were, and you told me you were a third generation.
Right.
American.
Yeah.
And basically... And I wanted all of our audience to think of whether they were second generation, whether your parents came to this country, left their homeland country, came to this country. And the question really is why? If you're a second generation American, why did your parents or your grandparents choose to leave their country of birth, leave home to come to the United States? Did you or they come here for free contraception? No. Huh? I don't think any of us did. Did they come to this country with the promise of free abortions or free sterilizations? No. My grandparents came here not for free contraception or abortion-inducing drugs, but for the freedom to make a better life for their family and themselves. So I need you to tell me why the administration can escalate contraception to the level of a right and say that free contraception is a right, a woman's right, and allow it to supersede, to trump religious freedom. A constitutionally defined right, one that drew so many immigrants to this country, religious liberty, a founding principle of this country. This country came to be out of a great desire for religious freedom, a need for religious freedom. Let's see if we can't take one more call, and just one more call, Bishop. Hi, take a stand. You're on the air with Father John and Bishop Cody. Harris, are you there? Yeah, maybe we don't take them. Harris, are you there?
Can you hear me, Father?
Ah, yes. Now yeah, I can.
Yes, yes, I am here. I just want to echo the accolades of your program, and just to say that Bishop's time is extremely valuable. But in a Western Mass, I feel that based on what I heard a new priest say, I've heard all the priests say that we really don't have that much to fear, because in June the bishops will convene. They're all very qualified. It's a certainty that they'll stand against, and very eloquently, as so many people have spoken, the nurse that spoke before me and the person that spoke before me or got the phone call before me, they will certainly stand against one of the former pastors came out and told it like it was. When you say big business, the abortion industry, he called it, he says, making a pregnant woman a cash cow. And that was something that really resonated with me that I remember. And at first it disgusted me a little bit, but if you look at the fact, it's not pejorative to the woman who has had an abortion, but to the industry. So thanks again for the program.
Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
And we've got one more person that I need to take the call from. Hello, you're from Longmeadow, Massachusetts? Are you there? Oh, well, you're in luck, Bishop. We're not going to take that call. But I do want to thank you for being with me and just ask you if you'd do me one favor. Would you?
Sure.
Now, with all, in the interest of total disclosure.
Yes.
You and I are classmates.
Yes, that's correct. Happy to be so.
And?
But let me just say this before. First of all, I'm grateful to you for having me on. And I just like, my closing remark would be this. This is a frightening moment for us as a nation. This mandate is an overreach, and it's a threat to our way of life and to our democracy and to our heritage. But I also think in some ways it may be a moment of grace for our nation. I don't think we've had this kind of conversation in a very, very long time.
You're right.
And I suspect that I'm hopeful that the people of goodwill and sound mind will see what is happening here, and that the justices of our Supreme Court will set the matter right by voting in favor of the First Amendment of the Constitution. I'm hopeful. This may be a very graced moment for us and the opportunity to have a very serious discussion about who we are as Americans and who we are as Catholics or who we are as Jewish people. It's an important discussion. I thank you for letting me be part of it.
And one of the good things about a discussion like this is it helps us appreciate the gift that we have in being Americans, being Catholics. And sometimes, you know, we take that for granted. We take it for granted until, what's the saying? You don't appreciate it until you lose it or run the risk of losing it. We don't want to lose our religious liberty in this country. We appreciate the fact that we are Americans, the greatest country in the world. We would like to share the gifts of what we have. We need to appreciate it. And sometimes we need to speak out in defense of the gifts that we have. Bishop, thank you so very, very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
You've got the questions. We've got the answers. You get hassled all day long. You've got to find a way to God. Let us help you try. We're your friend. Take a stand with Father John.
Well, time lingers to wait for none of us, and so we've come to the end of our short time together this evening. Let me thank you for taking a stand in the afterglow. I appreciate your spending time with us on this very important issue. And it's not going to go away. And of course, I want to especially thank Bishop Michael Cody of the Diocese of Norwich for joining us right in the studio tonight and enlightening us with his perspective. Thanks to all who called in or emailed and shared your questions and comments. You know, we can never give up fighting for our rights. And religious liberty is a fundamental right of all people, regardless of the name they give the deity. We need to make our voices heard, everyone's. This is not just a Catholic issue. It crosses all religious lines and even affects those with no particular religious faith. Religious liberty is a fundamental tenet of our Constitution, and it is what has made this country strong in its diversity and a leader among nations. What's at stake is the First Amendment. We can't just sit there and do nothing. Remember the words of Plato. The penalty good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. Now, those are the words of Plato. So don't somehow extrapolate and accuse me of calling our current president an evil man. I didn't do that. Plato's words are meant not to accuse somebody of being an evil man or an evil politician or an evil president. Plato's words are meant to motivate us to get involved, to be part of the political process, exercise your right to vote. How many Republicans didn't vote in today's primary election because they believed Mitt Romney would win anyway, so why vote? Well, why let someone else vote for you? Don't be indifferent. Get involved. The penalty good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. Not this time. Contact those senators and representatives and say no to government mandates against religion. Reverse this government edict. Again, the contact information of both Connecticut and Massachusetts federal legislators is on our website, wjmj.org. Please speak out. Our freedom, your freedom, is on the line. WJMJ.org. And one more note. The bishops of this country are also suggesting that the 14 days from June 21st to July 4th, Independence Day, be dedicated to a fortnight for freedom, a great hymn of prayer for our country. And during this time, the church normally celebrates many great martyrs who remained faithful in the face of persecution by political powers, like St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More, St. John the Baptist, Saints Peter and Paul, the first martyrs of the Church of Rome. Culminating on Independence Day, this special period of prayer, study, catechesis, and public action would emphasize both our Christian and American heritage of liberty. So mark those dates down, June 21st to the 4th of July, a fortnight for freedom. Now, without God, we can do nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. That being said, night prayer is coming up, which will be followed by Good Evening Good Music with our good friend Ivor Hugh. Thank you again for joining me in the afterglow.
Take a stand with Father John.